We worship together as always in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us, and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah 65, verses 1 through 9. I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that did not call on my name. I held up my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and offering incense on bricks, who sit inside tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh with broth of abominable things in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself. Do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day long. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their laps their iniquities and their ancestors' iniquities together, says the Lord. Because they offered incense on the mountains and reviled me on the hills, I will measure into their laps full payment for their actions. Thus says the Lord, as the wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it." So I will do for my servants' sake and not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, inheritors of my mountains. My chosen shall inherit it, and my servants shall settle there. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next, we will read responsively Psalm 22, 19 through 28. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid.
Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of wild bulls. You have rescued me.
I will declare your name.
You who fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offsprings of Israel.
For the Lord does not despise the poor, the poor, and their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
For from you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who feared the Lord.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May our hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families and nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
The second reading today is from Galatians 3, chapters 23 through 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you believe, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he wore no clothes. He did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of that man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wild. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherders saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone from sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home. Declare how God has what God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, how many of you have ever seen the movie Mary Poppins? Most of you? Do you remember her pulling a ruler or a tape measure out of her bag? Any of you remember that? You remember that she went up to them and measured their heads, maybe? This is all I got, so we measured and says, pretty quiet. That's okay. Went up to, let's see here. Oh, not too bad to sisters, but could be a little nicer. It measures this head. Think she's perfect, almost, but let's measure me and see what this one says. And then, do you remember what she said? Oh, yes. Pastor Zach, practically perfect in every way. Right? Yeah, I know, that's pretty funny. That's not what it says. It's prone to narcissism, obviously. So, you know, that's kind of what our lives are. You know, with the law, it goes up to you, measures, says, yeah, close, but not quite. You've made some mistakes. Maybe you put a little gum in Susie's hair or something like that, or a tack on teacher's chair or something. Who knows? weren't nice to brothers or sisters or friends. Got in an argument with a spouse, maybe. Who knows what it is? But it seems to measure, and if we're measuring up to that, we're never going to make it. We're never going to. But then Jesus came into the world, and this is something you're going to hear a lot. There's demons in our lives. There's sin. And yet Jesus came in, and you know what he did with that rule? Oh, excellent. It's doing exactly what I wanted it to. You remember what he does? Wow, that shot a lot farther than I thought it would. But it broke the rules. He came in and broke the rules. And you know what happens now when we measure up? Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. No way. This can't be true. Let's see. Yes. Practically perfect in every way. It's true. Through Jesus and taking on all those sins, all the demons, breaking that rule that used to hold us and we could never measure up, and instead making it a cross. Indeed, at the end, we are seen as practically perfect in every way. And that's amazing. And we are, as it says today, one together in Christ. That's pretty cool, huh? Anybody think that's cool? Yeah. Raise your hand. Yeah. Somebody raise their hand. It is pretty cool. But hold on to that and know that, yeah, there's lots of rules and we tend to break them. But Jesus broke the biggest one so that when we measure up in the end, in the eyes of God, we're seen as truly perfect through our baptism. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son, because we could never measure up. But now through Christ, in the eyes of God, we are indeed perfect and good. In your name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what do you think of when you think of demons? Ooh. Maybe Halloween? Maybe you think of being totally possessed? Maybe talking in tongues in a way that we can't understand? We often think of it in those terms of when we think demonic. We think of exactly what's being talked about in the gospel today. Somebody that is so crazy, running around naked, doesn't have a house but lives in the tomb. Seems like you can't chain him down. Always going crazy, causing trouble. Maybe even has a few horns. That's a stereotypical demon, isn't it? That's what would be so easy to identify if perhaps all the demons of this world were like that. But what are some demons you might not think about? What are some demons that are different from that stereotypical demon? Think about that just for a minute. I'm not asking you to share. This is kind of a private time with yourself to be able to think about this. But what are some demons that you know for a fact have been or are in your life? And while you're thinking about that, what if I change this definition a little bit about what a demon is and instead say, what if we think about it as who is in control of your life? What are the things that are distracting us from a relationship with God, with each other? Is it getting a little easier to think of some of the demons, perhaps, that you've had in your life, or maybe even have in your life today? Maybe it's something going on in your job, your vocation, that pulls you away. You're just so busy all the time. Maybe it's something with finances. Maybe it's a broken relationship that is taking control of your life. For some of us, maybe it's politics. It seems like there's just nothing any of us can say right. Maybe it's the day-to-day details of going from here, there, and everywhere that are controlling us. These are just a few examples. The list can go on and on. Think of some of those on your own. Are there external demons in your life that are playing on you? Does your past come back to haunt you at some point? Is that a demon? Can family sometimes feel like a demon? Can the church perhaps sometimes feel like a demon? Something that's holding you away from a relationship with God. I want to share this example that came up in text study this week with a group of about five pastors about how maybe you can relate to this, maybe you can't. And we're just going to use the church as an example for this one. About how this person came to church and knew exactly what had happened in his own life. Carried a lot of baggage. Carried all these things on their hearts. They came in. They were never welcomed. They were told they don't belong. They were told they should go somewhere else. In that instant, perhaps, they were burned by the church. And yet this same person who knew had all these problems and just needed somewhere to get them off their chest, somewhere to feel safe, somewhere to get rid of these demons of their life, they go down to the local bar. They sit there. And the bartender comes up and talks to him. People come up and talk to him, say, "What's going on in your life?" And in that moment, that's where the release was. In the bar, of all places, that's where he could find peace, could find a place to release these demons, to get them off his chest. And how many stay outside of the community as a result? That's just one such example. You could think of others, perhaps even in the bar there could be demons, perhaps, that you go there and you can't let go of that bottle. Perhaps it's at work, you can't stop working. Who knows what it is? Again, I'm just inviting you to think on your own, where are those demons in your life or where have they been? There are other situations in our lives where demons try to put up that wall, try to separate us from that relationship with God. The relationship God's calling us to. Try and say, "No, it's not possible. Stay far away from there. You're better off going down this path." And in the end, it can really drive us crazy. Demons are indeed still out there, and maybe you've experienced some of them. Maybe you've seen it firsthand out there. But it's not always as obvious as it is in today's gospel reading, it seems like. And yet in the gospel reading, here we are, somebody that clearly has demons. And not only a demon, a bunch of them, a legion. And I don't know if you know much about the Romans, but a legion's a pretty scary thing to see if it was coming down your way. They are big, they are indestructible, they are many, they are one, they are united. And yet this person is possessed by a legion, many united as one. Causing this person to be thrown so far to the outside that nobody will even go near him, even if he were to try come to him. He hides in tombs. And yet here's Jesus. Jesus that goes to these Gentiles, goes to this Gentile that nobody would ever go to, and reaches to them. No one is beyond God's reach. Not even this person possessed by so many different demons. Somebody controlled by a legion of demons whom it seems like is impossible to communicate with. And yet, God reaches across. Jesus reaches across to them and says, "Get out." And ironically, Jesus even reaches out to those demons to the point that he negotiates. And they say, "Please don't cast us into the abyss. Forever of nothingness, perhaps." But the abyss is only mentioned a couple of times in scriptures after Luke. And it's usually not pleasant. And yet Jesus sends them into the swine. And even though they drowned, they found death more pleasant than that abyss. Jesus liberates. Liberates those imprisoned by the law. All of us have been imprisoned by the law, like the children's sermon reminded us. Until Jesus. Until Jesus came and liberated us in so many different ways. In our baptism, we're clothed in Christ. We're all in Christ. But we know that there are still demons very much a part of our lives and the world around us. There's sin. And it's not always easy to be able to hold on to this when we look around and sometimes feel hopeless. But Jesus liberates. Jesus liberates in our salvation of our mind, our body, our soul, the relationship with God and with one another. But we can't do it alone. Only through Christ alone is that indeed possible. It's a battle we cannot win by ourselves. Because if we're honest with ourselves, the demons of our own lives, the sins, they are indeed a legion. They are many. And one against many is not great odds for us, unless you're Jesus. The cycles of time, events making themselves come back around and around throughout history, make it hard for us to see that this is possible. But in the end, through Jesus, all are one in Christ. Paul writes, there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We're all united as one in Christ Jesus. And that leads us to a challenge. A challenge as us who know we are indeed liberated. Just like that man that was saved from the demon, what are we going to do next? Are we going to go return home, declare how much God has done for us? Are we going to keep it to ourselves? How are we going to be able to share that good news? How are you going to use that promise that your chains are gone, you've been set free? How will you use it, share it, give hope to the hopeless, to the lost? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song called Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. And that's what we've seen and heard here today. The one who breaks the darkness, breaks the demons of our lives, which are all over the place, from addiction to relationship problems, to all sorts of things in our lives that we can think of and draw on. Maybe it's our own blindness that can be a demon and slows us down. But Christ comes in and breaks the darkness, breaks the demons of our lives with a liberating light. And that's some good news. Some good news that we need to hear. That Jesus goes out of his way, goes into the Gerasenes, goes to Galilee where nobody would go, goes to those that never thought they would inherit a promise, and sets them free with liberating light. That's what we can hold on to. The ruler is broken. What are we going to do with that? That salvation, that light, that freedom from the darkness. Thanks be to God for being that liberating light. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. During the prayers of intercession, my response will be, let us pray, and you will respond, have mercy, O God. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For all the servants of the gospel, for the church throughout the world, and for all who sing the praise and glory of God, that through the gift of faith, all declare the wonderful name of Christ. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the well-being of creation, for the mountains and lakes, for the fields and forests, for the plants and the animals, that God lift up good stewards to care for the entire earth. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
for the nations and their rulers, for aid workers, and for people who suffer in war-torn areas, that God will raise up leaders and advocates to work for the equality of all. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all who cry out in need, the hungry, the downtrodden, and the outcast, all who suffer in mind and body with their own demons, for the grieving and the sick, especially those listed in our bulletin, Heather, Melissa, Duane, Karen, Ione, Anita, Catherine, Tim, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Maginus, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Joseph, and Amos, that all may know that God is near and hears their cries, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For teachers preparing for the upcoming school year, for those who are traveling and absent from worship, and for those who are visiting our congregation, that God's love will lead them in their daily vocations, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, including those who have died, confident that we belong to you in life and in death, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all your prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is ready, and the Lord is our host. All are indeed welcome at this meal. As a reminder, we'll be practicing intinction. There's regular wafers as well as gluten-free. Dip into the dark color, which is wine, or the clear, which is grape juice. If you're in need of gluten-free, just let your server know, and all are welcome. Please be seated.
Oh,
Please rise as you're able. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Shall we pray? O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with your words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart, to serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and to honor the earth you have made. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Sunday song is "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," hymn 886, verses 1 through 4. And if you want to come play an instrument, there's some up here.
Yeah,
I heard a big yeah. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy, and the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is sending you.
Thanks be to God.